here to honor all the mothers that are here, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, if you don't know where it's at, I want to take you, to that. It says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. All right. So again, that's honor your father and your mother. What commandment is that? Huh? Somebody said first, somebody said second, I heard maybe third. It's the fifth commandment, all right? The fifth commandment. And so honor your father and mother. And everybody that's here today is either a mother, or at least you have a mother, right? Anybody don't fall in that category? That's where it was at, Debbie, right there, number two. Because I thought pretty well I'd covered everybody in that particular statement right there, because the only person and only being ever that didn't have a mother is God, all right? And he may be present and is present today, but everybody in here, you either are one or you have one to be able to honor, and maybe your mom has passed away, but still you can honor your parents. And that this fifth commandment, it's not an option. It's not a conditional commandment that if your mother is this way, or if your mother is that way, or if your father is this way, or if your father is that way, then you honor them. It does not give conditional statements there. It just says, honor your father and your mother. And if you'll do so, then it has benefits of a long life that comes with being able to keep that. It's a pretty important commandment. And so this morning we're going to discuss Mary. A mother who gave, and when I mean Mary, I mean Mary, the mother of Jesus. And, you know, motherhood often comes with a great deal of sacrifice, more so than for fathers, I would say. But the sacrifice that Mary made was one that was just profound. And I want us to look at that in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. When you think about this for a moment, and what I'm about to say may impact somebody that is here, but losing a child has got to be, and as a parent myself, has got to be one of the most painful things that I could ever think that a parent could go through, all right? But when you think about losing a child, that's bad. But think about Mary for a moment. Not only was Mary losing a child here, but she was watching her child be crucified on a Roman cross in this verse. As she stood near the cross and she's standing there, I cannot imagine the pain of just losing one of my children. Let's say their Eli grows up, or Angela the one, and they go into the military and they're in Afghanistan and they get killed. That's one thing, but it's another to stand there and to watch somebody brutally murder your child. And I think about, as a mother, she stood there and took that in. And I can't imagine that intense pain that she was going through as she was there. That thought process about Mary and how wonderful she was, the fact that God chose her to be the mother of the Messiah, has caused people within Christianity, the Catholics primarily, to elevate Mary to this superhuman type of a level, that they elevate her to the level of being a deity, really. And you know, it is taught to the priest that Mary can stop Jesus from delivering wrath to you. She can say, hey, sit down, Lord. And he supposedly, they say he sits down. I doubt that is true. Okay, I doubt that she is that important as far as being some figure of the Godhead, but should Mary be respected? Should Mary be honored as an awesome and wonderful and great mother who it should be modeled after? Absolutely. Okay, Absolutely, because I can just tell you, first of all, having been chosen at a young age like she was, having found favor with God, the Bible tells us that she was going to bear the Messiah. That means that she is someone who was righteous and someone who walked with God. And she would have had to have been that awesome to have stood there and bore the pain of watching her son be put on the cross. And so you ask kind of how. We glaze by Mary a little bit in the crucifixion as we're talking about Easter, because we're focusing on Jesus as we should. But in the play, we put in, and Miss Wilma put in, there's not verses that tell you that she come down the aisle crying and all of the things that are said, but we're trying to get the spirit of about what was this mom going through at this moment, okay? And when you see Ann Johnson, who plays Mary the mother, and I don't care what you believe, it's my belief that she does an awesome job in that part. But when the first time I was running that spotlight that's on that stair right there, and the first time she come in and she got to around where Glenn and Caleb and Mary Beth and them were sitting, and she hit her knees and she cried out there, "My son," and she fell down. I just started weeping and crying. I mean, because it hit me really for the first time as you thought about this. Mary would have been in utter torment at this particular moment. Although she knew, you know, who Jesus was, and that's one of the reasons that I think Mary was able to be as strong as she would have had to have been to stand near the cross and not be rushing up there to take him down or just being uncontrollable or just not going at all. I mean, she stood near the cross, the Bible tells us right there in John, and to have done that, it's because of 33 years of experience having raised the Messiah. She knew he was special. Remember, she went and found him after 3 days, and they went back and found him, and he was in there in the synagogue, and he says, "Why are you looking for me? Don't you know I'm supposed to be about my Father's business?" So she knew that there was something special, but in that moment, they really didn't understand exactly what he was saying. But over the course of 33 years of raising him, she understood that he was going to be enormously special. In Luke 1, 30-33, it says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" She knew from the very beginning that he was going to be special. She knew that he was going to be destined to do great things and to be in service to God. But did she know he was going to die like that? I don't think so. I don't think it really registered with Mary that he was going to have to go through the cruel Roman cross. And Ann Johnson, whatever Mary's name is now, but Ann, when she comes up here, she says, there was a line in there, and I couldn't remember it today, where she says, "I didn't know I was going to have to give him up to such a cruel Roman cross." And although that's not a scripture that says that, woman, I think that that is exactly what was on Mary's mind at that moment. She had no idea that he was going to have to die like this. And I'm amazed at Mary and how, when we think about motherhood, all right, she is an awesome example. Jesus's crucifixion had to impact many people that were there. The disciples lost their teacher. People lost their friends. His brothers and sisters lost a family member. But Mary lost her firstborn son at that particular moment. And I'm not a mother. But I am a parent, but I can tell you as a mother, that would have to be a crippling thing. And how did she go through it again? Because she knew who he was. She knew that she had to turn him over to God. And that level of sacrifice was huge. The other reason that I believe that Mary was able to cope with these events that were taking place was she was a woman that clearly feared the Lord. She clearly feared God. Now, does that mean that she was scared of him? That's not what that means. That she respected, that she was sold out to God. She wouldn't have been selected to have been the mother of the Messiah had she not been. And in Proverbs 31, verses 30 through 31, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I happened to use that scripture yesterday at the funeral. I used the entirety of the passage about a noble woman. But the part that is right there, when you think about being able to go through tough times, and if you're a mother, you go through tough times. Childbirth, we couldn't handle it, okay? I couldn't handle a cortisone shot in my thumb. Much less that. I mean, I had to have a cortisone shot in my thumb after Brooke squeezed my thumb almost off when Eli was being born. You know, I was like, hey, it's time for the epidural, isn't it? You know, my goodness there. But when I think about motherhood and I think about what you all do and what mothers mean, we literally wouldn't be here without you. Literally, okay? I mean, it just can't happen in any other way. And the sacrifice that mothers have to go through, it is a sacrificial role. And it doesn't end at any point, does it? It doesn't end when the kids move out of the house. I see Marie shaking her head over there and many others. It continues on. It continues on into grandmotherhood and great-grandmother and great-great, if you can make it to that, like that as well. And I have had the distinct privilege, y'all, of being in church for a lot of my life. And I have seen some awesome examples of godly mothers who fear the Lord. All right? And I talked to Ruth a lot about this, and we talked the other day that, you know, Miss Gladys has been passed away for right around 7 years now, but you're talking about a woman, Gladys Terror, who came in this place week after week if something was going on in her family, and she prayed hard for her family. And those prayers, I don't know exactly how I can explain it in any other terms than these simple terms. The prayer of a mom is just more powerful and effective because of how you are, and especially a mom that fears the Lord, okay? I put down in your notes that should come later, but a godly mother who fears the Lord is about the closest thing this world has to a superhero, all right? And those of you who are sitting here today, and you have a godly mom, and there's many that are present here today, be thankful for that. Not everybody has a mother that fears the Lord, okay? Not everybody has their mother that is here, but if you had your mother may have been passed on, but you may have had an awesome mother who left you a wonderful legacy to be able to live on. That's a wonderful day. I know this day can be sad at times for people because, again, Mother's Day for a lot of people is a great day. For some of us, and I'm going to lump myself in the others, it's not as great as other days, all right? But I know through women in church what a godly mother is supposed to be. I know in watching my wife what a godly mother is supposed to be. I know from reading the scriptures when I look at people like Mary what a godly mother can be. And I can just tell you, if you're sitting here today, you're a young mom, and you're wondering how in the world, a parent either one, because this entire message can go to anybody, but of course we're focusing on mamas today. Next month I get you dads. But if you want to know what is that one ingredient that I need to be an awesome mother, do not worry about all the trappings that the Cosmopolitan magazines and everything else try to tell you about. Get that one thing right. Fear the Lord, all right? Be a woman that fears the Lord. You can change the entire world when it comes to how you are with your children. Us fathers do not have the connection that you have with that child. We wish we did. They grew inside of you for those months You have that special bond that is there, your prayer life. I mean, I just had a mother down here earlier praying for her children. And that is powerful and that is effective, you know, to the Lord. And so, you know, when it comes to us as parents, and we figure, well, what can we do? How much money do we need to give to a college fund? And how, do we need to give them the nicest car when they're 16 and all the rest of it? Let me tell you something. As a person who does many a funeral, I don't hear people bragging, usually, about how much money somebody gave them. It's usually something a lot more deeper and a lot more relational when it comes to how that person impacted them. They were there. They gave them time. When you think about the aspects of a wonderful mother, it would be, and a father, well, too, that the greatest thing that we can give our children is our time. Time spent at work, time spent, you know, doing other things. And as somebody who stays fairly busy, I know what that's like. But there's only one person that could have been at my son's birthday party yesterday, and that was me. And that's why I had to make sure that I was there. I was there for a little while, but I couldn't have sent somebody else to be there. Nobody else. Brooke makes his cake. That's what she wants to do. She wants him to know that she made it. Yes, we could buy it and get it from somewhere else, not spend that much time, but that'll mean something over the course of time. But all of those things really don't matter as much as if you have a legacy that you feared the Lord and you passed that on to your children, that is something that you can lay your head down and breathe your last breath and be immensely proud that you left that to your family. And for those of you, as I said earlier, that are here, and I know that there's family members that are here of some wonderful mothers that are present today, count your blessings. Do not let this just be, and I know it's not, for the vast majority of people that are here today, don't let this be the only day that you honor your mom. Especially a godly mom, you know, like that. But all of our mothers, whether they are or they aren't, need to be honored. But mothers, in my view, as I said earlier, when I look, I would be lost and undone if it wasn't for the people inside of the church. Dudley's like a, you know. I should have said that. Boy, I would have stayed on my notes and I wouldn't have said that. Dudley's like a second mama to me. A lot of people are in here, and I just encourage you, like I would the fathers here, that we come and we celebrate in church mothers, and it's great when you do so for your family that is here with you today. But how can you impact the folks that are around? There are a lot of young women that are here in this church. I can't teach them how to be a godly mother. Earl and Jim and the other leaders of the church, we can't teach them how to be a godly mother. You all that are here, we're losing. And young women, let me say this to you. We don't need to be reinventing the wheel. We need to go back a little bit to how our grandmothers raised their families. We need to go back into biblical times there. Yes, work is important. Yes, putting food on the table is important. But let me submit this one thing to you. The breakdown of the home is what's wrong with our society today, and it'll never get better until we get that back. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's going to take the church that we have to step in. Men in the church have to step in and take other men and other boys along the way and teach them, because that's what we should do. No, they're not our sons, but we ought to do that because that's all they have. And in here, there is a tremendous amount of people, as I say, youth and others. Where are they going to learn how to be a godly mother? They don't have one at home. And so when they come in and they're a little messed up, and they're not doing everything exactly right, rather than talk about them, and rather than say, look, I can't believe they did that, why don't you go up and say, hey, let me help you? What an awesome opportunity that we have in the church. And I want to say There's other scripture that I could have read about this, that the older women and teaching the younger women and all the rest of that kind of stuff. We need you mothers that are here, that you've raised your family. You know all the bad things that you did, all the mistakes that you made. We need that. The young people need it today. And young people, quit being stupid and think you don't need it. Because you do. I do. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing all the way. We don't know everything, even though we think that we do. And so I'm asking, invest in the younger generation, not just talk about them. And I say again to the younger generation, let them invest. We keep acting as if we got to do it better than our mamas did and our daddies did. And we got to raise our children differently. And our homes, they got to be bigger. And our cars, they got to be better. And all the rest of that. Yet we continuously get worse and worse and worse and worse. I just think that my great-grandmother, and those of you in that greatest generation that are in your upper 80s and 90s, we need to learn from y'all. We need to learn what it means to be a family like that. And I can just tell you that you go through, and mothers, I just can't understand just, and I'm processing as I've had children for the past 4 years, Eli will be four next week, just how much of a sacrifice it is to be a mom. When you sacrifice your time and you sacrifice sometimes ambitions and all the rest of that, because you're the only one that can nurture that child that way. You're uniquely built to be able to do it, whether that comes from the birth process, the nursing, and all the rest of it. Fathers just never have that kind of connection that is that way. And y'all have such a sacrificial role. You should be honored. You should be revered almost, if you will. And the roles that you are, and your mothers should be too. But you can only do that if you're sitting here today and you got young babies and you're pregnant and all the rest of that, and you want to know what is that one thing that I've got to do. I want to give you the example of Mary. The only way she could have raised the Messiah and watched him go through the torment that she was going to go through was that she knew that she could lean upon God. And there are going to be times, there are going to be many times that you're going to need to lean upon God. I can bet you right now, if you go and ask people like Joy Wilson and Wilma Andrews and Carol Nichols here, and I don't want to name people that ain't too old, Miss Virginia, and people that are in here like that, and many of you all others that are in this place. But if you ask them right now, how many times did you have to lean on God to get me raised? It would be a whole lot of time that was there that they prayed. A lot of time they spent praying. A lot of time they spent worrying. All right. And if you have, on behalf of those people that are sitting in this place today that your mothers have passed on and you know they feared the Lord, you know that's I'll see you later. You know that there's going to be a reunion again. And I would just say on behalf of those folks, if you have your mother on this earth still with you, embrace that opportunity. Don't waste that time. Because there will be a day that will not be true. And you'll want to have those times back. You'll want to undo some of those things, some of the petty things that separate us sometimes. Sometimes it may be us that has to humble ourselves. But I'm telling you, we got to get back to that connectivity within the home life and within the family. Enjoy this day. If your mom isn't here, pick up the phone and call her. Go see her. Do something like that. If you're here today and you're a mom and your children didn't come to church with you, I want you to go back there and take a picture and look real sad and send it to them, okay? And tell them they should have been here, you know, with you in that way. But y'all celebrate today and you be honored. And I just want to tell you all so much. At what y'all mean to me.
Sorry. So, for that, I honor you all today. All right, let's pray. Father God.